Hello and welcome to AP US History Podcast, episode number 26. This episode will be focusing on the role of the national government during the period of the Gilded Age, 1877 to 1890. With the exception of the Civil War, until the Great Depression of the 1930s, the activities of the national government had relatively little effect on the daily lives of Americans. Five major factors help to explain this inactivity. First, most presidents had a narrow view of the role of the presidency. Many of them believed that the government was best which governed least. Nevertheless, interest in politics remained high. Local politics were of great interest to voters. In no other period of U.S. history did a higher percentage of eligible voters actually vote, more than 80% consistently as compared to less than 55% in recent presidential elections. Second, during the late 19th century, the two major political parties received roughly the same number of votes at national elections. Of all the presidents between Hayes and Theodore Roosevelt, only McKinley received more than 50% of the popular votes. Democrats usually held a majority in the House of Representatives, and Republicans usually controlled the Senate. For only 2 years between 1869 and 1897 did either Republicans or Democrats control the presidency, Senate, and House of Representatives at the same time. Third, the closeness of the vote on the national level illustrates the lack of national consensus on major political issues. Citizens of the U.S. did not yet have enough in common to support comprehensive political action. Fourth, state and local governments played active roles in dealing with major political issues of the day. And fifth, the national government lacked the money, information, and personnel necessary to do effective work. The federal government's expenditures amounted to about 5% of gross domestic product versus over 20% today. Lack of money explains both the national government's failure to start new programs and to enforce ones which were already on the books. In addition, to buy votes, the government put its limited funds into pensions for Union Army veterans instead of other projects. In 1892, out of a budget of around $330 million, $160 million went to veterans. The government lacked both the theoretical knowledge and the statistical data on which to make decisions. The Bureau of the Census was not even established with a permanent staff until 1902. The issues concerning the national government tended to be ones that local and state governments could not solve. The conflict over the patronage system is an example of this. The federal government had numerous jobs to give out, roughly 50,000 in 1868, 250,000 by 1900. Most of these jobs were given to supporters of the party in power. Other party supporters were rewarded with contracts for government work in so-called pork barrel bills. The assassination of President James A. Garfield in 1881 by a disappointed office seeker led to the passage of the 1883 Pendleton Civil Service Act. This act established the Civil Service Commission that drew up and administered examinations for government jobs. Once in these civil service jobs, individuals could not be fired for political affiliation. At first, only 10% of the 131,000 government workers were protected by civil service. But as each president tried to protect his political appointees before he left office, the number of workers protected by civil service increased. Tariff legislation also occupied the attention of almost every administration. Tariff duties ranged from 38 to 58% during this period. Advocates of high tariffs won support from industry. Managers argued that high tariffs protected U.S. employers and workers from the competition of foreign goods produced by workers earning lower wages than Americans. Foes of the tariff pointed out that high tariff rates permitted inefficient producers to charge higher prices because tariff walls protected them from competition. Tariffs also hurt farmers by raising prices on manufactured goods with no compensating increase in the price of foodstuffs. Since business exerted an enormous influence over Congress, tariffs tended to be high. During the Grant administration, corruption ran rampant through a number of administrative departments. A whiskey ring, which included the supervisor of internal revenue, robbed the government of $1 million annually by not turning over revenue taxes collected on distilled liquors and fines placed on tax-evading distillers. The Secretary of War was forced to resign when it was revealed that he had accepted $24,000 in bribes. The Secretary of the Navy sold contracts to shipbuilders, and the Secretary of the Interior worked closely with land speculators. During the rest of the era, corruption was not as blatant. The 1883 Pendleton Civil Service Act forbade the political party in power from asking for campaign contributions from federal workers. Please join us again next time for episode 27, when we will talk about the characteristics of the Western Frontier.